Oh, okay.
This is Mae Warren, take two with Hardin Marion. You mentioned Little Lexington. We haven't talked about Lexington. What was Lexington like in the 50s?
Well, Lexington was little. Lexington was very much like it is today. My recollection is it was 6,000 people in 1951 when I got here, and it's probably still about that size today. I'm not sure of the exact population, but a lot of the houses look the same today as I remember them then. The one thing I can really tell you about Lexington, but again, it's not from my student days. I told you I came back to my first reunion in 1975, my 20th reunion, and I came back again in 1980. And between those 5 years, Lexington revitalized itself and spruced itself up, I think, with some bicentennial money that it got. And some of the lighting, I think, the wiring was put underground, and some of the streets were bricked. And Lexington cleaned itself up in those 5 years, so that there was a real noticeable difference when I was back here in 1980. Lexington looked a little kind of down at the heels in 1975, at least by comparison, as I thought back on it when I got here for my reunion in 1980. I mean, I think Lexington is a gem of a city, and I wouldn't be surprised if I weren't living here myself when I decide not to practice law any longer in Baltimore, just because through my involvement with Washington and Lee, I've got, if I discount my law firm and the people I know through my law firm in Baltimore, I probably know more people in Lexington than I do in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I felt in Annapolis.
Little Lexington is little, but there are an awful lot of people here that I know, most of them, of course, connected to the university.
What were the hangouts back in the 50s? Where'd you go?
Well, since I was a Phi Gam, my traditional path each day was from the Colonnade back to the Phi Gam house up Lee Street. And Doc's was the hangout of choice for our group, I mean, particularly for those who drank beer, but I was always with people who were drinking beer even when I wasn't, so I would sit with them. And Doc's was the place. I remember hearing stories about the liquid lunch and some of the hangouts on Main Street, but that was primarily for the Red Square fraternity people and for those whose path took them a different way from the campus than mine did. What other hangouts were there? There was the State Theater, and there was the Lyric Theater. A typical Sunday afternoon found everybody in my fraternity eating Sunday lunch at the fraternity house, and then going down to the State Theater for the 2 o'clock movie and making comments, probably being boorish as far as the local residents were concerned, but trying to top one another with funny comments about what was on the screen, probably sitting up in the balcony of the theater. We'd go to the Lyric occasionally to see a movie that wasn't a first-run movie, maybe an arty-type movie. In law school, when I lived in the freshman dorm, I can remember frequenting, I don't remember the name of it, but it was essentially where the Wilson Walker House is today, a restaurant that was a pizza place. Don't know the name of it, but it had what I considered to be the best pizzas in the world at that time. Of course, they were the only pizzas within the range that I could walk to, but I loved them. I put on a lot of weight by going down there frequently at midnight for a pizza. And I remember the pizzas, and I remember Fats Waller music on the jukebox down there.
And where was this?
On Main Street, on the west side of Main Street, across from where the McCampbell Inn is, and it was, it had to be right about where the Wilson Walker house is.
Now, was Jabo's in there somewhere?
Somewhere, but that
but
was
you're a, not talking about Jabo's.
I don't know, maybe, I don't think so. I think that was a place that sold beer, but.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
There was something on the other side of the street. That may have been the Liquid Lunch, and that may have been Jabo or Jabo. Where the McCampbell Inn is today, but there was something, I think, in the place that I recall, the pizza place I recall, as late as the early '80s, before the Wilson Walker House. And again, I think that's where it was, but it might have been one of the other places right in that same neighborhood, but there was a place where you went in and maybe sort of went downstairs, and they would have bluegrass music and something of that sort. I remember being there the first time I came down for a class agents weekend in 1980-1981 and going to that place, and then within a few years it was the Wilson Walker restaurant, I think.
It was what you're talking about was when it was the White Column Inn.
That's what it was, yes. Now, the White Column Inn, I think, was the pizza place, by whatever name it was known in 1956 to 58.
All right, because that's something I'll have to find out about. I know it is the White Column, but that started in the early 70s or mid-70s. So I'll have to find out. You're the first person to mention pizza in Lexington.
Okay, now, there was a pizza place there, and it played Fats Waller music. That was the era of, I don't mean Fats Waller, Fats Domino. It's the song that I remember from there. I'll think of it maybe.
So do you think there's any connection between pizza and Fats Domino and Domino's Pizza?
I don't think so. You can draw that connection.
Maybe the guy who started Domino's Pizza went to W&L in the 50s. Well, I think we've gone through my list. Is there anything else you'd like to talk? I mean, you had Alvin Barkley up your sleeve. Do you have anything else up your sleeve?
I threw in Alvin Barkley. We talked about my one big venture into campus politics.
How about fancy dress? We haven't talked about dances or any of that.
I'm not a great dancer, and I was not a great dance attender. I went to fancy dress my freshman year, and I remember it cost me an arm and a leg to rent a costume and buy a corsage for a date, and I think I decided after that I just wouldn't bother to put on a costume, and I'm not much at going over to a huge crowd of people. I'm not a great dancer, so I generally sat on the fringes and watched other people dance in the fraternity house.
Now, something you've alluded to a couple of times was that other people were drinking beer, but that you weren't. Was that a big deal back then? I mean, certainly keg parties are a big deal now, or was drinking beer?
Yeah, drinking beer was important to most everybody I knew then. I didn't drink anything when I came to Washington, L.A. I had my first drinks under the constant social pressure of my fraternity brothers. Oh, come on, try a beer. So I had a couple of beers in April of my freshman year, and I then drank probably something else with gin in it. But those are the only two beers I have ever had in my life. I did not like the beer, and I am that aberration from Washington and Lee of somebody who just doesn't drink beer. I did learn to drink whiskey and gin and the rest of those things during the course of my stay here, but I have never been a beer drinker. But most everybody else that I knew was they would drink beer, they would complain about the different alcoholic content of of beers, I don't remember what it was, 3.2 as opposed to some other number that was higher. And they would complain if they could only get the weaker beer from Doc's on the corner. And maybe, I don't know, whether Doc's sold the other beer to them if they weren't 21. I don't remember how that worked. I mean, I remember that the only liquor that you could buy was at the ABC store, which was in the same block as the State Theater on the other side, down close to the corner at Washington Street.
Mm-hmm.
And people would have to go buy a bottle of whiskey on a weekend and carry a bottle around. They went to parties, which was I always thought it was a self-defeating kind of a proposition, because you buy more whiskey than you could use in the course of an evening, and were then under the temptation or the pressure to drink more than you could safely handle, and people periodically passed out or went to sleep or retired from parties because they had too much to drink. I don't think it was this. I don't think it was binge drinking as I hear about today, and I don't think people drank solely to get drunk, but they clearly drank too much. I include myself in that group.
Yeah, it seems to be part of the mystique of this place, alcohol.
Yeah, that's one of the things that has come to the attention of the Board of Trustees, and along with it, not only the concern about student drinking, but the perception on the students' part that the board and the alumni in general want the university to have a reputation as a big party school. And that's kind of tough to deal with, because the board does not want students to believe that it does not tolerate drinking in any way, shape, or form. But I think we've got to get the message out, and the board does believe that drinking has got to be done in a much more responsible way than students too frequently do it. And we, most of us, probably know that from our own experience as students, as well as by what we see and hear today.
Yeah, I expect that's true. Well, are there any final things you'd like to say?
I think this is a wonderful project. I appreciate your inviting me to participate. I'll look forward to whatever it is you're going to put out.
And, I look forward to it, too.
look forward to see what I have to say at the time and what everybody else says. But thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.